The Antidote welcomes Mitch Layton, the guy who's making the music of Pipe Bomb. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, I was going to introduce you as Mitch the Pipe Bomb guy, but, you know, I kind of thought my listeners might get nervous.
Yeah, there is something too, like, I kind of play into that a little bit of the Googling Pipe Bomb, you might end up on a watch list type of thing, but I do get that a lot. I get people call me Mr. Pipe Bomb. I call people who like Pipe Bomb the Bomb Squad. It's kind of fun to lean into that a little bit.
You haven't had Homeland Security pounding on your door?
No. I do. I get nervous about like mailing merch sometimes. That's why I mail it from my name. I don't mail it from Pipe Bomb because I'm like, well, I'm sure the USPS won't like that.
Tell us the story. How'd you come up with the band name?
Yeah, so I think the simplest answer is I was watching a documentary about the Unabomber and thought the name Pipe Bomb sounded cool. And I was thinking like, oh, hopefully this name hasn't been taken. I know that, you know, there's Car Bomb that's taken. So I was like, well, maybe Pipe Bomb's free. And so I just kind of did a quick Google search and Spotify search and didn't see any bands named Pipe Bomb. I'm going to snag that before someone else takes it. So I kind of wish there was a more profound answer behind the meaning, but there's really no meaning. It's just, I thought it sounded cool. And I think it kind of fits the brand of the music, you know? It sounds hard, at least, so I think it fits it.
Well, see, that's it, because I thought you were going to say it comes from your explosive sound.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like, sometimes I'll think about, like, trying to figure out what to post on social media, and if I can't think of any good hooks at the time being, I'll go into ChatGPT, which, by the way, I'm not a big AI guy. I kind of hate it, to be honest, but I was like, well, I'll see if ChatGPT has any like ideas for, is there anything that's like clever that I could post? And it always points that out. It's always like, oh, you should say you have an explosive sound. And I'm like, well, that, I think that's kind of like subtext, you know, I'm not trying to like really lean into that too hard, but sometimes it is kind of fun to do that. And to, you know, people will make puns about it. I'm like, oh, that's fun. Like if I'm about to drop new merch or I'm about to drop an album, people will be like, oh, you're dropping the bomb. And I'm like, oh, that's fun. You know?
Well, you do hear that explosive sound on the band's very first single, False God. Now your sound, it's metalcore, mathcore, and it's chaotic. And I do mean like really chaotic. It really does remind me of the music of The Chariot.
Yeah, I mean, I love The Chariot. They're definitely a big influence for me. And I think they were a big influence for me, like growing up. I first kind of got into The Chariot. I think I was about like 18, 19, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to see them maybe four or five times before they broke up. Yeah, I mean, I think until that point, I had this kind of idea of what metalcore was and what it should be. And then after I saw them play, I was like, oh, it just kind of flipped everything on its head. And I kind of realized like there is this performative element of the live show means something different than the recorded album, and they feel different. And I've noticed this with other bands too, is like sometimes you'll see a band live and be like, wow, that was great. And then you listen to the album and be like, well, this doesn't feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa, you'll listen to the album and be like, wow, this is awesome, and then go see them live and you're like, that didn't really hit, or wow, that was way better, you know?
Or you fall asleep at the venue.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely you know, sometimes you'll see bands and they're like not moving around at all, and then take, you know, The Chariot for example, it's like they're moving around so much in that moment, I'm not like, are they hitting all the right notes? I'm like, I don't care about that at all. I'm focused on like the energy of this show. And so that was really a big transition point for me of kind of going from listening to more of the like melodic sounding metalcore stuff and then veering more into the chaotic sound. But yeah, Chariot's definitely a big one for me. I have a tattoo of them on my leg. I'm happy when people compare me to bands like The Chariot or Norma Jean, even though I'm not trying to sound exactly like them. I'm not trying to rip them off at all. It's nice that people are at least sensing those influences and sensing that we occupy like a similar sonic area.
What are your thoughts on the current metalcore scene?
There's definitely good and bad. I feel like metalcore has become kind of a dirty word to a lot of people because they don't picture bands like Converge. You know, they'll picture like maybe Bad Omens. To be honest, I've never listened to Bad Omens. I don't really know what they sound like, but my impression of them is that it kind of verges on like stadium rock. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's where a lot of metalcore is going now, is it's cosplaying as like heavy music, but it's really just kind of catchy hard rock. And don't get me wrong, I have a soft spot for catchy hard rock. Like, I love a good Nickelback song. You know, I'm not gonna complain about that. But you know, it definitely is different. So there's good and there's bad. And I know a lot of people kind of complain about like the Kubla Khans and the Knocked Looses and the Turnstiles because they've gotten a lot of popularity. I don't think popularity is a bad thing. I think it all depends on whether the music is good. And, you know, there are good and bad parts about all those bands. There are things I like about them and there are things that aren't quite my thing. But I think each of those bands, like, you know, take Kubla Khan and Knocked Loose and Turn. I mean, really all three bands, they've been grinding it out for decades. They were working hard and writing underground music far before it was ever popular. So, you know, I really respect bands like that. I think they're doing something unique. But at the same time, I feel like there are other bands that are kind of taking this metalcore sound and really trying to make it like radio rock or something. And I'm not a big fan of that. So I think bands are still trying new things. And as long as they're doing that, I think that's really cool. There's also been a big resurgence of like metalcore revival. I think people could say that about Pipe Bomb, is like it's kind of channeling that early 2000s chaotic sound.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the same way, there are bands that are channeling the early 2000s more like melodic metalcore sound. I don't know. I think we're in an interesting place. Like, I don't think people are just trying to copy what was popular 20 years ago. I think they're trying to take elements of that and push it into the 2020s and kind of do something new. So, you know, hopefully that's what I'm doing with Pipe Bomb. That's what I'm trying to do, at least, is kind of combine a lot of things that I think are interesting and push the metalcore as chaotic as I can get it without it being like totally devolved or something.
And I do hear that with your music. I do know that you have the new Pipe Bomb album out right now, but I want to stick with the debut EP Stomp for a little bit. The title track says, "A mannequin hiding underneath the human skin is better than the depravity in my soul. Just stomp me out, suffocate me." And then earlier on it says, "The less of me, the better." But you know, that's disturbing. Is the inner self actually evil?
Yeah. You know, coming from a Christian perspective, like, because Pipe Bomb is a Christian band, partially just because, like, it's just me and like writing the songs, and I'm a Christian. So for the lyrics for this one, I was trying to really tap into this idea of the depravity of man, the sin nature, as people call it. Maybe it was just because I was getting older. Maybe it's because you notice things you struggle with just recurring over time. And I just kept looking at myself more and more and just seeing more of this in myself and getting a little bit like, you know, frustrated with it, but also just like fatigued by it and tired of this sin nature in myself. And so the song is almost like a plea to not have to deal with that, of like, I wish that when you became saved, that part of you died off completely and you didn't have to worry about it again. I know that maybe that doesn't make any sense, and that's definitely not how it works. But, you know, I think at the heart of it is almost a plea of like, I don't want to be the things that I am. I don't want to be this like the sinful things I notice in myself. I don't want that to be a part of me, but I still have to struggle with it. There's so many things in life that we struggle with, and there's so many things we don't want to deal with. Part of me wishes that I could just be like, you know, like if you're a Christian, you believe that obviously God is real and the Holy Spirit is real and that the Holy Spirit is in you and working through you. And so I feel like part of the song is like a plea to like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Can you just like work me like a puppet and I'll be here, I'll do whatever, but like take this part out of me and just do whatever you want to do, because I just keep kind of messing things up the more I try to do things. Yeah, I guess to answer your question, I mean, I think if anyone looks within themselves and sees things that they don't like, that, you know, it doesn't take long to notice something you don't like. It doesn't take long to look in yourself and notice whether you want to call it sin or whether you want to call it something else. You know, there's signs of depravity in all of us. And that's not to say that's all that's there, but it's definitely there. And I think people spend a good amount of time trying to not see that, or trying to compare themselves just with modern society as if, you know, that's the gold standard of morality. Or they compare themselves to the worst parts of modern society of like, well, at least I'm not like that. I think that's just kind of dancing around the fact that if we look within ourselves, we all experience guilt and shame, and we all recognize parts of ourselves that are depraved. That's not the entire picture, obviously. That's just part of it. And yeah, I mean, I guess it is kind of negative to focus on that, but I do think that a lot of the pipe bomb lyrics are pretty negative, not necessarily on purpose. I think that's just kind of the chaotic nature of the songs kind of draws from that. And so I feel like a lot of the lyrics are probably more negative than what my actual opinion is on the world or on like life as a whole.
Well, I get where you're coming from. And of course, you hear on many of the songs on Stomp, they get into topics like about being false, being overcome with sin, selling out the soul. Some of that does come out on the song Suicide Pact. Kill what demands its destruction, kill what demands its defeat. But you got to tell me what brought that out.
Yeah. To be honest, Suicide Pact was a bit of an oddball. I think I had a vague idea of what I wanted to write about, and then the lyrics just kind of came together. I was like, well, I'm not going to overthink it too much. I'm just going to put it out. But I think in general, the song is kind of about a similar thing, but almost like how from an external standpoint. So instead of focusing on our internal, you know, like us condemning ourselves for our own depravity, it's more about how the world will do that with people. I hesitate to use the word cancel culture because I'm not a big fan of that. And I just, I think that it kind of comes with all this baggage that is not really what this song is about. I think it's about how quickly people can turn on people when they do what society deems unacceptable, or what they as individuals deem unacceptable. That can become unbalanced with maybe what is actually unacceptable. You know, that fluctuates over time, and it can kind of turn into this mob mentality thing. I think part of the term suicide pact is like this idea of mutual destruction, that a society that's always trying to like condemn each other and really looking for these ways to take people down. Everyone on every side doing that constantly is not beneficial for anyone.
Oh, absolutely. That's just every day on social media, online, in the news. That's all that you hear.
Yeah. And I think everyone has a natural desire for justice. And I think that that's correct. And I think people on all sides of political spectrums and, you know, religions and everything, you know, everyone has their own idea of justice. But I think it's also easy for that to become mean-spirited. And I think that's kind of what that song is about, is when the judgment becomes personal, when you think, oh, I'm the one who can make a statement about this. And when everyone feels like that, it gets really carried out of hand. So I get that it's kind of a loose concept, and maybe that's not the best answer for how that song goes. But that's kind of the idea behind what that song is about.
You know, something, I do need some details about Pipe Bomb. Is all of this just you, or did you actually have some help when you were putting Stomp together?
Stomp is kind of a unique case compared to the new album. Stomp might be all me. For every Pipe Bomb release, I do the vocals, guitar, and bass. And then for the newest album, my brother is a drummer, I got him to program drums. Spoiler, we programmed the drums. They're not live drums. For Stomp, I believe I programmed all the drums myself. And yeah, for the new album, I basically programmed my own drums to record the song. You know, something basic that fits the feel that I want. And then I get my brother to go back in and basically write his own drum parts for that. And then Stomp, I actually recorded, mixed, and mastered myself. The new album, I recorded it myself, but I sent it out to get mixed and mastered by John Naclerio at Not a Recording, which is in New York. So yeah, to answer your question, for Stomp, that was all me. For the new album, I did vocals, guitar, and bass, and recorded it.
Now, rumor mill has it that you actually recorded Stomp at your mom's house.
Yes, that is true.
I know every mom wants to help their kids, but didn't that push her limits?
I had to be strategic about it. You know, I don't think she wants to hear me screaming my head off at like 10 at night. I don't think she wants to hear it when she's home relaxing. So I waited until she was going to be out, you know, whether at work or going out on the weekend or something. And then that's when I would record. Mainly vocals is what I did there, but I also reamped guitars there. And that was a little bit easier. I just kind of did all those in one big chunk of time. And I record all the guitars DI in my apartment, but I can't be super loud in my apartment. So that's why I record everything in my mom's basement.
Okay. Truthfully, what does your mom really think about your music?
If you were to ask her like, hey, what do you think of Pipe Bomb? She'd probably be like, oh, the music is great. I just don't like the screaming, which is fair. You know, I never expected her to really enjoy that music, but she will try really hard to say, oh no, I still like it. I still like the guitars and I still like the bass. She's a good sport about it.
Yeah. Good enough to have you recording at her house.
Yeah.
I've got one more song from Stomp. Dirt speaks about reigniting your life. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you found you've needed?
Yeah. I mean, I think that song was kind of a reminder to myself of how frequently we need that, how frequently we can start to kind of like feel closed off and dead, either like spiritually or relationally. Like, it's just really easy to become self-absorbed or to become just focused on daily life, that we get distracted and we forget other things that really matter. And so that song is kind of about like wanting to feel alive spiritually again and just feeling like stunted there and like what's gone wrong, you know? But yeah, that's definitely what that song is about.
And it's so easy to get distracted. Everything and anything can distract me.
Yeah. And you know, I know it's not a new argument or anything, but like the fact that we have phones that are not just available for distraction, but are actively fighting for our attention is kind of scary to think about. That, you know, it actually really does take a lot of effort and a lot of intention to not let that happen, to put the phone down and turn it off and to like look people in the eye and talk to them and like spend time away from technologies.
Where is the off button?
Yeah, right. It's they make it tricky. But yeah, there's so many distractions, and even good distractions, you know, like work can be a distraction. That's also a good thing. Yeah, when we get too focused on stuff like that, it's easy to not invest in community or your spiritual health or your mental health or your physical health. Even though this song is more about spiritual health, I think you can make the argument that all of those things are things that we could kind of want to be reignited in at some point.
Well, something else that can distract you is that Pipe Bomb isn't the only thing you're involved in, because you're also part of Plead the Widow's Cause.
Yeah.
So what's with Pipe Bomb then? You're just wanting another creative outlet.
Yeah. So I actually started Pipe Bomb before I joined Plead the Widow's Cause. I started Pipe Bomb in 2023, I believe. So it's been almost 3 years. And then I joined Plead the Widow's Cause, I guess, about 2 years ago. And I was friends with those guys. We grew up playing shows together probably about, you know, 10, 12 years ago. And yeah, they just kind of hit me up and were like, hey, our bass player's leaving. And, you know, if you'd ever want to like come jam or something, let us know. So before that, I was touring in a indie punk band called Church Girls. And that was a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed touring. But we were getting a bit older. I was getting ready to get married. Our singer was getting ready to get married and think about having kids. And so we kind of took a break from touring. And so that's part of the reason why I started Pipe Bum, is because I just wanted an outlet for the heavier riffs that I was writing, and was like, well, I have these ideas. Either they're just going to sit on my computer and go nowhere, or I might as well just put them out and see if anyone likes them. And so that was how False God started. And so when those guys from Plead hit me up, that was right around the time we were slowing down with touring. And I was like, you know what? This could be fun. I actually have a little bit of musical time to devote to this. And like, I'm not primarily a bass player. I'm mainly a guitar player. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this could be kind of a cool learning experience to mess around with playing bass and just, you know, and to hang out with those guys again. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm very glad that I joined. But yeah, it's juggling two bands can be a little tricky. You know, we're all like in our 30s at this point, and I think we have a pretty good balance of how much time we devote to this. We kind of just like do everything at our own pace, which is nice. So it's been nice to hang out with them. It's been nice to write and play songs. And it's also nice that we can kind of do it at whatever pace we all deem acceptable.
Because you keep saying that you're older, so you don't want to push yourself too hard.
Yeah. And we all, like, granted, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not that old, but we all have families. And so it's definitely nice to be able to say, hey, we're just going to take like 3 months off, or hey, we don't have any shows. Let's just meet and practice and, you know, hang out. You know, it's mm-hmm. nice to have that relationship where we can do that. Whereas like some bands, I feel like they're so like nose to the grind that maybe that's not an option. So yeah, I think we're in a good place.
You've got to keep it enjoyable.
Yeah, for sure.
You and I should move into the new full length Hellhole.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I read a comment that you made about the album, and you said, life was pretty turbulent for me mentally when I was writing this album, both in terms of my take on existence and my outlook on the people around me. Meaning that you were legitimately going through hell?
Not necessarily. So the song Hellhole refers to a relative of mine, now deceased, that had just made a lot of mistakes, was dealing with a lot of mental health struggles, and had really betrayed the trust of our family. And yeah, it's just a lot of really messy things. Did a lot of things that kind of jeopardized the health of our family. And so when he inevitably dealt with the fallout of his decisions, and even, you know, not of his own malice, just his own mental struggles too, the fallout of that, mm-hmm. it definitely led him into like a terrible place. Kind of where the title track comes from is this idea of like a spiritual and physical hellhole. If you look at the lyrics of the song, it kind of reflects that of what his life was like at that point before he died, but not without hope. And so the end of the song kind of reflects on like the idea of extending grace, even in really dark spots where you're convinced your life is over. Yeah, the whole last like quarter of the song kind of deals with the idea of there's grace and there's hope even for people who feel that far gone.
So there is light at the end of the tunnel, even when you are in a dark place.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the goal of that song was to not minimize the severity of destruction, or this kind of feeling of being ostracized and stuck in this place that my relative was in, but also not denying that grace and not denying that there is hope. both in terms of like physical things and spiritual things. You know, if you're dealing with addiction, there's hope physically to remove that addiction and to like get help. You know, if you're dealing with mental struggles, there's hope there. If you're dealing with spiritual struggles, there's hope there. So I just feel like focusing solely on that would not do justice to the darkness surrounding it. And so I wanted to really paint a picture of being stuck in this hellhole and then the light peering through. But yeah, the quote that you mentioned was kind of about the album as a whole.
Yes.
And so the album as a whole is pretty negative. And part of that is just because it's heavy music. And I'm like, I don't want to write heavy songs about happy things. To me, that just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. There has to be some level of aggressive emotion there. But that's not to say that it's without positivity. So take a song like Under God's Heel. That song is about not wanting to be alive, but realizing that I am called to a purpose and have a purpose and kind of coming out of a season of feeling really depressed with a newfound, but that hope is almost like this sense of defiance toward life of like, yeah, this is unpleasant, but I'm doing it anyway. And everyone deals with suffering. I'm no exception. I should be grateful for what I have. Yeah, almost living to spite life. You know, like if you look at the lyrics, I call it the devil. That could mean a lot of things. That could mean the literal devil. That could mean just evil forces in other people, in yourself, around you, whatever it is. Things like depression, things like addiction, whatever it is. So that song is weird because it kind of is negative. Like there's a lot of negativity in that, but it's almost cultivating this sense of like resistance and fighting against all the suffering in life and all the things that can come at you. It's reflecting this sense of like determination. So that's like the positive spin on it. But then, yeah, there's just a lot of songs that are pretty negative. Like Choke is pretty negative. That's about like people who are leading people astray in the faith and just the level of hypocrisy and irresponsibility toward the Bible that a lot of supposed preachers have.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a lot of negativity in the album, but I definitely wanted to toe the line of like, I don't want to be so negative that someone's like, hey, like this isn't a correct view of this. These songs aren't the entire view of everything, right? Like they're just a little slice of what I think about these things. And typically the most potent slice, you know, thinking about like the most cutting way to explain something that has the most emotion.
But you know, something else is that it's a tiny slice because your songs are so short.
Yeah. I mean,
here you go. Pipe Bomb has released 16 songs and the total playtime is only 36 minutes.
Yeah.
Why keep it so brief?
Yeah. Well, part of it is just, I would much rather leave people wanting more than getting bored. If someone listens to a song that's a minute and a half and is like, wow, I want more of this, I would want them to listen to it again or, you know, or keep listening through the album and to have the appetite for that. Whereas like, if I were to make that same song 4 minutes, I'm guilty of this. If I am not consistently engaged with a song, I just kind of skip to the next one. I really wanted to trim the fat. So like if a song had a section where I was like, I don't know if this needs to be here, I would just kind of cut it. I think that's part of the reason why the songs are so short. Part of it is just because I like short songs. I like things to be kind of short and snappy and very punchy. That's one reason for it. Some of them are really short. Bliss is very short specifically. I think it's like a minute and 10 seconds, 11 seconds, something like that. Under God's Heel is less than a minute and a half, I think. Which that one is just an intro track. I knew that I wanted that one to be short because I was like, this is almost like a teaser song, you know? Like it's introing the album. It's not this big like single, you know? It feels like an intro track to me.
Let's talk about Under God's Heel. because that's another song that does give some positivity. If the devil wants me dead, he'll have to kill me himself, because I'm living despite his will on this side of the ground. And you keep talking about how you're getting older, but that comment sounds like it's coming from an old person. You know, I ain't pushing up the daisies yet.
Yeah. So I kind of touched on this earlier, but I think the idea with that is almost talking to like my own feelings of not wanting to be here. I don't want to be one of those people that blames everything on the devil. I don't think that that's accurate or worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think that when you think about things like depression or anxiety or your own negativity, I think it's fair to lay some blame on spiritual forces, or at least, you know, external factors. And mm-hmm. So it's kind of talking about if any of these things are pushing me towards this negativity or pushing me towards not wanting to be alive, you're going to have to try harder, because I'm not going to listen to that. So it's this reluctance and this kind of like, it is kind of negative, but it's like negative talking back to my negative self-talk. Yeah, like I said, like that kind of like defiance. Hey, I'm going to keep living regardless of what gets thrown at me. And not only that, but I'm going to live to spite these negative things. I'm going to live to spite, from a Christian's perspective, like the sinful influences in my life, or just from like a regular societal perspective, I'm going to live to spite the negative things that are happening in our world. I'm going to keep living as a force for good. So yeah, there's definitely some positivity there, and almost like an angry positivity, which is kind of nice. I don't know. I like that balance there.
Well, you were just speaking about things that are happening in the world and the negatives there. And you bring that out on another song, Mob Rule. That does seem to be the way that the world is working, especially when it's inspired by politicians.
Yeah. And Mob Rule is kind of a tricky one. I'm not really like a super political songwriter type of person. And that's not really what I wanted it to be.
No, it only hints at that.
Yeah. And I think when you look at the different sides of the political spectrum, I think you can see evidence of mob rule in a lot of places, like everywhere. You know, I wrote actually a little blurb about this in the lyric booklet for the vinyl that I'm doing through Resuscitation Records.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, I say, like, I kind of have one political party more in mind than the other, but like, both are guilty. And I think it's important to embrace that nuance. Like, not just because you want to be a good sport towards like friends and family who may have different views than you, but also because embracing that nuance is going to prevent your own brain from going into this like it's us versus them mentality. Eventually, where that leads is this sort of like angry mob mentality where people just kind of lash out against people who don't think the same as them. And I can't say that I blame them. I think there's a lot of things to be angry about, and there's a lot of things where people might say we're on opposite sides. You know, maybe that's the case, maybe that's true, but still, the song is more about like, don't give in to that. Don't eat your own. Don't come up with all these ways where you can just always see the bad in other people, because that can lead to some really scary places. We've seen it lead to some scary places already in modern history and in history as a whole. In the lyric booklet, I kind of challenge people, like, when you read the lyrics of this song, you're probably going to picture people of the opposing political party, which is natural, but like, try not to do that and try to picture yourself or picture your own party or picture people you know and care about, and think critically about like, are there ways where you're doing this? Are there ways where you could do better at extending that olive branch? Hopefully that comes through. I think the lyrics themselves are just kind of angry, but I think the thought behind it is about rejecting this mob mentality. Extend empathy towards people who you are disagreeing with or angry against, and to actually kind of work through things.
Lots of anger nowadays.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the Hellhole album has been out since March. What's the response been like?
It's been really good. Definitely better than I thought, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, people have just been messaging me and saying they really love it, or, you know, it's on repeat. And I've been just really thankful, not just for the number of people who have listened, which is also really cool, but just that people are hearing it and being like, oh, I got to tell someone about this. Like, to me, that's huge. That's like, there are so many bands that I hear about that I just never tell anyone else about, or I don't feel that need to, like, oh, I'm going to buy merch. Oh, I'm going to like post about it somewhere. So the fact that anyone is hearing it for the first time and like, oh, I got to check this out, or, oh, I'm going to like buy a shirt, even though I just found out about this band today, or I'm going to post about it on Reddit because I really like it. To me, that's crazy. That means a whole lot. Yeah, I've just been really, really thankful with the response and with how much people have been into it.
Well, you see, the reason I brought up that point about how people were responding to it was that I once had a coffee with Josh Scoggin of The Chariot, and I told him that at first I didn't understand the band's music, and it was only later that I got into it. Mm. Have you heard anything like that from your listeners?
Not so much. Like, when you think of bands like that, I think that the majority of people who are listening to Pipe Bomb had already been exposed to bands like Norma Jean and The Chariot. And so I think they're coming into listening to Pipe Bomb with that in mind. Mm-hmm. So for them, it's like, oh, cool, a breath of fresh air. There are bands doing this kind of sound still. Whereas I feel like there's less people hearing it for the first time, like, whoa, what is this? But there are some comments that are like a little bit like, this isn't my thing, or like, oh, I don't like this.
I can understand that you are in a bit of a niche market that way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And so I don't expect it to be like everybody's thing. But thankfully, most of the people who it's not their thing just kind of don't comment at all. And the people who it is their thing seem really into it. So that's been kind of reassuring for me. Like, I wasn't sure before I released it. Songs like Straight Edge Hate and Tabloid are a little bit more straightforward. Mm-hmm. They kind of have a chaotic energy, but less so than songs like Choke or like Mob Rule. And so I wasn't sure how people would feel about that. I wasn't sure if they'd be like, you know, this feels more tame than Stomp or something. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I was just like, well, I like this song, so I'm just going to put it out and see what happens. So I'm glad other people like it too.
It's your baby.
Yeah, for sure.
Why don't you and I close this up with a final song from Hellhole? I Will Kill the Worst Parts of Myself. That's a heck of a way to do self-improvement.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I titled that song, I kind of knew that it was a little bit abrasive. Like, obviously, there are ways that I could phrase that that are more tame or are more like supportive sounding.
It's got the shock value.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think the idea behind that was, again, this sort of like angry positivity of feeling really depressed and sitting with the lights off and like taking a nap at like 3 p.m. and being like, all right, I need to not do this. I need to do something different and make changes. Part of working through that was this song and seeing like, well, I know I can't change everything. And I know there's some things I can't change. There's some things that are still going to be issues from here on out, but I can change some things and I can do something. Yeah, it was kind of like my own frustration with myself of like, I can't keep doing this. I need to do something different. And that process for me was like, well, I'm going to find these parts of myself I don't like, the worst parts of myself, and cut them off and replace them with better habits. And then also kind of having this duality of part of me feels so exhausted that I'm like, I can't do it. I'm done. Kind of succumbing to that depression, or like, for lack of a better term, like a pity party. Mm-hmm. And not only is it not healthy, it's not beneficial. It doesn't do anything. So I reached a point of frustration where I was like, well, I want to do something about it. The song kind of goes back and forth between this really determined, like, I'm going to kill the worst parts of myself, And then this idea of feeling really done, feeling really like at the end of my rope. And that's kind of what I mean by like the no future calm, backhanded living has its flaws. This idea of backhanded living is almost like living with one hand tied behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
And not working as hard as I should to get rid of these bad habits and kind of holding on to some bad habits and not realizing that it's like, oh, I'm actually kind of making this worse. I'm not living life to the fullest because of my own laziness or my own apprehension to dealing with these things. So yeah, there's a lot of different layers, but it's basically kind of bouncing back and forth between get busy living, get busy dying. And at the end of the song, kind of being like, well, I want to get busy living, so I need to kill the worst parts of myself. I don't know how much of that is necessarily clear just from the lyrics, but it was kind of working through those things in that song. So hopefully that kind of sheds a little bit of light on it.
Okay, you can make personal changes, Mitch, but just don't change the music of Pipe Bomb.
Yep, I'll keep that in mind.
I really appreciate you coming to The Antidote to speak about the band. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.